So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're in there. You know, it's this 1 Corinthians 12 is a minefield full of revelation bombs. And it seems like it was impossible. I didn't really have it in my mind, but at the end of the day, it's impossible to get through a chapter like this in some scope of time, 45 minutes for sure. But in any week or month, there's so much content in here. It's a minefield of revelation bombs and growth, spiritual growth. And so before I run here, let me just remind you of something. When we first started this book, this is kind of important because we know that this is correction to them. This is, where are you at in your spiritual growth? What do you think church is? What do you think relationships are? What do you think this covenant is all about? Paul's addressing this the whole way through. What's a spiritual man? What is a spiritual man? Do I know and understand what a spiritual man is? So as we started this in 1 Corinthians 3, and I just want to, you know, just touch your memory bank just for a moment to say, how did we start this? Bless you, brother. How did we start this? Look here in verse chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men." I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual men. It's difficult for me to do this. I'm hearing all these things coming, reports coming, and I couldn't speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh. But I'm going to speak to you. I would like to speak to you as spiritual men. And I'm going to speak to you, but it's going to have to be on a level where you understand it. Paul comes to them on a level that they won't understand it. Not that you stay here. When God comes and speaks to your heart, it's not so you stay there. It's so that you move on. We have to grow up in everything pertaining to life and godliness, pertaining to his precious promises to us. We have to grow up into him. This is, you can't, when you look at the idea of spiritual growth and as natural growth, you know, Phil, you can't stay in diapers all your life, brother. I'm not picking on you, but I'm just giving you an example. This is an example. Randy can't walk around in diapers all his life. Can't do that. You know, it's not, we're not going to talk to you that way. As infants in Christ, men of flesh, see how that's connected? Men of flesh as infants. Men of flesh as infants. Because we have to start somewhere. And it's up to you to measure where you're at according to the word of God. Are you still a man of flesh? Are you an infant in Christ? Are we maturing? Are we growing? Are we growing as the word is feeding us, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby? Are we growing up into him? I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Well, when did he do that? A long time ago. When he spent a year and a half with them and had come through those regions and visited them, go back to Acts chapter 18. You see the historical content of where this has happened. He gave them milk. He shared with them Jesus. That, you know, as Pastor Bill mentioned many times, how do we start our little babies off? Start them off with milk because their digestion isn't quite ready to handle steak and mushrooms, potatoes. It's not quite ready for that. But it's not going to stay that way. It's not going to be that way. You're going to grow up, and you're going to be able to take solid food. But for now, in your fleshly state, in your infant state. So here we go, solid food. You're not ready to receive it. Even indeed now, you're not ready. After all these years now, and I'm not saying this was 10 years or 15 or 20 years, but this was letter was written years past. Oftentimes the scripture will refer to it as, I spent many days there. What's that mean? Well, you don't know. Sometimes you do, but oftentimes you don't. You don't quite understand what that means. And there can be a long passage of time in that I spent many days there. So here we are. Let's get back to chapter 12 concerning spiritual or being spiritual or spiritual gifts. He's actually going to give them something to sink their teeth into, to maturity, because there was an epiphany. Pastor Bill was preaching sometimes. This was a long, long time ago. Early on, when we talk about spiritual gifts and spiritual growth, this thought came to him, and he revealed it in spirit by preaching and teaching the word. And he said, you know, sometimes the Spirit of God moves in spite of you and not because of you. Well, that was like, click, a light came on to me to think that I need to be somewhere. See, that's a wrong concept, because the Spirit of God moving. He's moving right here. That was not an inappropriate song right when we started this, because even though you don't know he's working, you don't think he's working, you don't see him working, he's working. His spirit is moving. The wind of God is moving, bringing us, bringing revelation. Whether you choose, if you put a wall up, that's you putting a wall up. Anytime anybody comes up and you hear the word of God being preached, if walls go up, check that. Check that I'm not resisting a word that's going forth. We always have to check that. And he goes here, I don't want you to be unaware. I'm following this because I want to get into new content today. I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led. This, you know, we're being led. How are we being led? Well, Paul's idea and his thought is that you're led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that's in you, that made you new, that you're not the same as you were, but you're a new creation created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is how we're led as a Christian. There was things that weren't happening correctly. They weren't happening in the Corinthian church that motivated the Apostle Paul to write letters and to address many subjects. Idolatry, fornication, immoralities, marriages, all these various subjects we've already been through in the first 10 chapters. This 11 chapters, and here we are. And why do we even come together? Is it to eat and drink and to get drunk and to just devour food and not give and share with others? And what about communion? He addressed all these things. Do you understand what communion is all about? Your covenant, do you understand what that's all about? He addressed these things. How are we being led astray? How are we being led, period? How are we being led? Well, there's lots of ways that you're being led. Your thoughts, how do you process things? How do you think about things? Things you hear. It leads you to take a step. You know, what do you think marriage is? What do you think business is? What do you think church is? Well, however you think, it's where it's being led. But how does God say it is? Well, that's going to change everything. Your growth, your maturity, that's going to change everything. So however you were being led, mute, dumb idols, philosophies of the day, the Greeks influenced everything. The education, you think it's what's going to be leading you. No, we're led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. This vocal ministry, these ministry gifts, and this the voice, the ministry of the voice of the Word of God that keeps coming to you, is that voice, that still small voice, is going to lead you. The Spirit of God. That Spirit of God, in the same context here, does not lead us astray. He does not lead you away from Christ. So, however I'm being led, if it's not leading me to Christ, that's the wrong voice. Every time. If it doesn't lead you to the things of God, it leads you astray. And then we get off. Now, this isn't damnation teaching now. This does not lead us. But it can. Your heart will get hardened the more you listen to that voice. The desensitized, you'll come to the real voice of God. the Spirit of God that's leading you and the Word of God that's in you, you'll be led astray. It doesn't, however that is. But the Holy Spirit will not lead you astray. He leads you to Christ. And he begins to talk about these spiritual gifts. And this is where we get into the minefield. Oh, there's so much fantastic stuff in here to learn about the Spirit of God. So my challenge was in this, in order to cover this topic like this, is to say to me, to say to you, this was a quest of mine, recognizing when I see that happening, the word of knowledge. Do I hear that? The word of knowledge, do I understand it for what it is? Word of wisdom, because see, the Spirit of God is moving right now, even here today, even when Pastor Bill preaches, even when Brother Shane preaches, even whoever comes here, various ministries, Brother Allen preaches. The Spirit of God is here today. Do we hear the voice of God? Is our spirit judging it for the Word of God for what it is or not? So it's manifesting. It has its effects. And I do make a very strong point in this. On the opposite of that, are you going to convince me the Spirit of God is not moving? Ever? Because I think he knows what he's doing. He does know what he's doing. He is leading. He's guiding. He's bringing conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit does not stop, as that song says. That's one of the things I like about that song. It's bringing conviction of what I know is true. The Holy Spirit is people having trouble in their marriage and in their life. Do I think the Holy Spirit stopped speaking in this matter? He's coming to them, visiting them. What needs to change? What needs to change in my life? Cleave to Jesus Christ. Cleave to him. There's varieties of effects, different things that people handle it in different ways. But the Spirit of God is drawing you in. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Well, it's for the common good. It's for edification. It's to build up the church, to build you up, build up the body of Christ. And so he goes through these. There's 9 of them. And every one of them is important. The thing about it is, do I understand them? And you know, this is more of a deep dive. You could take an entire message on any one of them, or 2 or 3, on any one of them, and find them in the Old Testament, find them in the ministry of Jesus, find them in the ministry of the other apostles. We could look at them and do deep dives into them. And verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. Well, I'm going to stir this up. You're not going to stir anything up. You're stirring your flesh up. You're stirring up the devil. But as he wills, he will work in you and through you. The Holy Spirit will have his desired effect, his work. He will accomplish what he needs to. And sometimes in spite of us. That's a real wake-up call, that you realize that it's the Holy Spirit that's moving, because God loves you more than I do. I mean, I love you, but God loves you more than I love you. And God loves you more than I love you. And that's the way it is. God loves you, brother, more than I love you. I love you, but God loves you more. And he wants to bring increase to your life and build you up. For even now, he goes to this whole discourse and to try to bring light and revelation to how the Spirit of God moves and how it brings the unity together and how the various gifts work together. He brings this analogy in of the body, the human body, the parts that work together. The hand does this. The foot does this. The hand can't say, I don't need you, foot. And, of course, it's almost silly when you read it. But it's so deep when you realize that that's the way it is. There's even some funny parodies on this story when you think about this most unseemly member of the body. There's body parts and body members that you think, well, you don't want to talk about them. Body functions that we don't want to talk about. It would get really weird. But yet some of those body parts are the most important body parts, because when they stop working, when those body parts stop working, it really, really affects the rest of them. The brain will shut down. The arms will grasp the stomach and buckle over and shake until those body parts begin to work again. This is the parody about that. It's such a true story. You need these body parts that are seemingly unseemly. So here we go, verse 18. But now God has placed, yes, you can read that over and over again and settle it in your spirit. God's the one that does this. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he desires. It's really odd for me to encounter people that come to a church and leave a church. I'm not on a bandwagon here. But in light of this, in light of saying, well, brother, where'd you come from? Well, I was in Texas and I moved up here. You know, had they ever considered this scripture before? Had they ever been taught this before? But you know, it's not an accident that you're here. If God led you here, you settle that yourself. And if God has led you to a place, then that's where you belong until he tells you to move on. If he tells you to move on. How does he tell you to move on? Oh, well, somebody insulted me. Well, how am I being led again? If they insulted you, it gives you the opportunity to forgive them. And if you forgive them, you pass the test. The test of your life, you're always going to encounter people that maybe don't flow the way you do, maybe don't think the way you do. Well, you wouldn't even have any. How do you know you're selfish unless you give? How do you know you love unless you have opposition? And you, how do you know you can forgive unless you're offended? So it's not the offense, it's the test. It's whether you forgive or not. Because you'll get offended anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. Everywhere you go, and anything you put your hand to, you'll have an opportunity to be offended. The question is, that's not the harder lesson. Will I forgive them? Do I understand that God has forgiven me? And how in the world could I ever hold something against this person? How could I do that? That was a huge revelation for me at one point in time. That, the man who didn't forgive and the man who did forgive, but just blew up in my spirit. It's like, how could I ever hold something against anybody? I just cannot. Doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. If they were all if they were all members, verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? We have to see the dynamic of the body of Christ. We're all unique and we're all different and we all have gift. And there's a surprise in every one of you. I probably have said this before, brother, you really surprised me. Did you know? It's like opening up on Christmas Day, it's like opening up a present. Some people are just surprised you, like, wow, I didn't know that was in you. They'll surprise you. People will surprise you. God has given gifts in the church, put gifts in the church, and it's by his Spirit. I said something to you last week about Galatians. Let's just jump over to Galatians. Galatians 3. And I want to see if I can find that here. And this is going to come up just a little bit. In just a little bit, there's going to be something that's going to pop up here that's going to be very consistent. One of the things I've talked about, maybe not in the last couple of weeks, about this book is there's a time and season in the Apostle Paul's life. I really feel that's significant in a man's life and ministry, where you see times and seasons of growth, of increase and maturity in a man's life. As a point when he first starts something and he begins to step out and move out, that God is leading him. That's such encouraging for me. Oftentimes, Pastor Bill talked about when the church first started and the ministry was going on. Some of you were here in those very early days. Pastor Bill would say, I was really shy. And he would talk about how his life has changed. How his life was changed by stepping out and just doing the things God has called us to do. Every one of us is that way. When you begin to step out, I remember when Grace Academy started. I mean, you're going to remember it better because it was the Spirit of God in you. And you probably have said many testimonies. I remember when my wife began to teach. That was a huge step for her in her life. I had already mentioned about Shane in stepping out. You know, what would you think 10 years ago if you knew that you were... And he's rolling his eyes right now. What would you think if God was going to take you somewhere? But at some point in time, you have to say yes and you have to step out. That's just the way it is. You have to say yes. You have to look for that courage. And it's the courage is what? The Spirit of God. Is that wrong to say he's a spirit of courage? So if courage comes to you and you follow that leading of courage, now if, what's the other? You've been not been given a spirit of fear, Timothy. Love and of a sound mind. That is what's leading you, not fear. Not run in a hole somewhere and hide. Again, an example of how are we being led? The life, the step out that we take, are we being led by the Spirit? Here we are. You foolish Galatians. It's going to kind of sound like Corinthians right here. He hadn't gotten there yet. He's writing this letter, and by the time he wrote a letter to 1 Corinthians, by the time he actually penned the letter and sent it to Corinth, he probably visited this place. As far as a timeline and a perspective goes. But this letter is very similar in very many aspects to 1 Corinthians. So he's bringing correction to them as well. Later. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Paul's... go into first person mode here for a second. This is what I want to find out from you. I want to know this. You tell me. This is the first person of it. Watch it. He says this. Did you receive... I'm going to ask you a question. Paul's asking a question. I'm kind of asking a question, but I'm not being sarcastic, judgmental. But we have to ask ourselves this question. Answer it for yourself, okay? That's what I'm saying. We judge ourselves. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? See, this is a level of revelation that he steps up into. A measure of time has passed, and now we're here gleaning more insight from the Spirit of Paul. As in his apostolic ministry, causing us to grow up, where did the Spirit come from? How did you get this? Was it not hearing with faith? Hearing with faith? Hearing with faith? You heard the word preached and you believed it. Are you so foolish having begun this? This is really another one of those spiritual bombs. Are you now being perfected by the flesh? You begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Sometimes I figure that, I'm thinking that that's what keeps us small as a Christian. the Spirit of God came upon you when you believed and you had faith to believe in him. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart and thou shalt be saved. We believe that. And then we continue walking like nothing has affected us. He was publicly crucified. So somehow that makes a difference in your life. Because it does. He put away the shame. The shame of the cross. The humiliation of that. And he accepted what he needed to do. Go to the cross to purchase my salvation. My redemption was all because of him. All of it was in the mind of God in the very beginning. He was publicly crucified. That began my spiritual journey, began my walk. So if that's how I began, that's how I have to continue in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to affect me, to change me, to engraft me on the inside. I can't make it be a better Christian just in the natural. It doesn't work that way. It never did. And it never will. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides the Spirit... Now, this sounds like 1 Corinthians, but it isn't. We're in Galatians now. But it is a revelation. And it is coming from the same person. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit... And who is that? It is God who does that. He works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, that's the point. It's not the flesh. It's not the law. It's the Spirit of God. So back to First Corinthians 12. Thank you. So that there might not be any division among the body, but every member would have the same care for one another. If we try to do this thing in the flesh, it brings divisions. Because the flesh is always divisive against the Spirit. Always. If we would have stayed there in Galatians, he would have gave you that example in the life of Abraham. The divisiveness of the flesh. When you see divisiveness happening in the church, you're going to start to see some acts of the flesh. Like every time. Attitudes. That some of that's the beginning of it. Arrogance, pride, lying, cheating. All those kinds of things. You're not going to be perfected by those things. It's by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is given and he's working among you, verse 25, so that there be no division in the body, but every member would have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, this is the thing, let this work on your spirit, because it's such a big thing to wrap your mind around. It's such an important thing to wrap your mind around. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice in it. I suppose we can write books about that and preach messages about that. It's how connected are we to one another? How connected are we in spirit? How connected? Well, by the Apostle Paul's account in his writing, we are connected. They're absolutely. Thank you, Pop. Our hearts are connected together. Paul is carrying this church in his heart, which motivated him to write this letter in the beginning, knowing that him carrying this letter in his pocket that he received from Jerusalem, that Jews and the Gentiles are not separate people. They're bound together by the Spirit of God. We're bound together, absolutely bound together. How's it in? And Paul brings this up. We're just not going there, but just throw the seed out to you. How's it different from marriage? You're bound together with her. You're bound together with him. How is it any different? that we begin to understand these things. And it causes maturity. So things that divide that, we have to be careful of. And I could say it even stronger than that, but nevertheless, the covenant of marriage is constantly an example in Paul's life. It is. This idea of us as a church body being connected together in spirit, it is. Now, you are Christ's body and individual members of it as God has appointed in the church. God has appointed. He's bringing the same thought. He's defining what the church is in the previous chapter. He was defining what the covenant was, what the Holy Communion is all about. Defined it very explicitly. And now we moved on. God has appointed in the church first apostles. This is in a full list. We might even go there and just give you a second here. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. You notice there's not evangelists listed there. There's not a pastor listed there. This is further revelation. We'll read it in a minute. We're following and tracking Paul by revelation and by understanding where he is. Out of his heart, he's writing these things. Miracles, gifts of healings, helps administration. I purposely read that way because I think it's better to understand it that way. He gives gifts of healings, helps and administrations. The Spirit is always moving in the church in these things. We've all read many of the same books in regards to the ministry gifts and the gifts of the Spirit, and we know these things. Read it again. Ask God to give you more light on it again. How the Spirit moves among us. How the Spirit works in the corporate body. There's various kinds of tongues. Verse 29. All are not apostles, are they? He's talking about a ministry gift here. All are not prophets, are they? The answer is no, of course. Nope. No, they're not all apostles. No, they're not all prophets. All are not teachers, are they? No, they're not. All are not. But we all need to be able to teach. Is that not true? Of course it's true. All are not workers of miracles, are they? He's pointing back to the things he just said. It's all connected together here. He's not changing subjects. All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? Gifts of healings. All do not speak with tongues. You know, don't take that scripture, that verse, and say, see, we don't have to speak in tongues. Because not everybody does. That's taking it out of its context and what it's used here. That's really an abuse of the scripture here. All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you a still more excellent way. That is, you're just springboarding into one of the most read chapters in the Bible. Not probably the most, but maybe Psalm 23 might be, but I think it's just a matter of opinion. What do you read the most? Maybe that would be helpful. But most of the weddings you go to, you certainly see this next chapter we're coming into. But I want to back up with a thought. Let's go to, you know, in the same vein, Ephesians 4. This is the same vein of thought, same revelation, same person. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, you think we're reading again, you know, 1 Corinthians. But when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he wasn't in prison. This is years later he's going to write to the Ephesian church. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. I want to press that a little bit more because this calling, whoa, what am I called to? What am I called to? You're called to be a Christian. You're called to be saved. Can we start there first? That's a good place to start. I'm called to carry the truth. Here I am. This calling is upon my life. It says here, well, I just lost some place. I'll find it. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of calling with which you have been called. Walk that way with all humility. So here in your calling, you can't get out of it. There's no way we can squirrel out of this. We can't squirrel out of it in this calling. Humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It sounds like what we just read in Corinthians, but Paul taught the same thing everywhere he went. He taught these same principles everywhere he went. Because these are the principles that build up the church, that build you up as a Christian, as a believer. This is what will cause increase in your life. The Spirit of God working on the inside of you, working on your patience, working on your gentleness, working on your tolerance. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, that you're growing more and more in love. This is what he wrote to Thessalonians earlier. There is one body. You think you're reading Corinthians again. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, and all who is over all and through all and in all. It is all about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that's the Pauline revelation. That's what he understood. That's what he taught everywhere. And it kept growing in him from the time his knees hit the ground on the road to Damascus until this time, many years later, here we are. He's writing 1 Corinthians. He writes to the Galatians. He's already written the Thessalonians. He will be writing very shortly to Romans. That's why it sounds like this. There's a revelation that he's carrying. There's a maturity that he's carrying. But even in all that, before chapter 13 of the book of Acts, before that, there was no churches under his authority. He didn't go in the mission field yet. He was teaching in Antioch. He was teaching in various places that he went in Judea, got chased out of there, went back to Tarsus. He was fetched by Barnabas in Tarsus, brought down to Antioch, where they began to teach. All this revelation that we're being able to share right now in these things. Each one is given grace. Verse 7, chapter 4 of Ephesians, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, draws from Psalm 68, I believe. When he ascended on high, he led captivity a host of captives. He gave gifts to men. Very same thing he's preaching to 1 Corinthians. The maturity. He's teaching them more solid food. This is not just milk. There's something on the inside of you. It's more than just milk. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? He's explaining this in deeper measure. This is one of the transcendent books of the Apostle Paul. This is a heavy, heavy book here. This Ephesians book is one of the more pinnacles of his writings. Amazing of who Christ is and what he has done. He descended to the lower parts of the earth. He who descended himself also ascended far above the heavens. See, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He was seated by God himself at his right hand. He seated him far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. He fills all things. Corinthians talks about this when we were saying about marriage, that the husband is the head of the wife and Christ is the head of the husband and God is the head of Christ. This is what we read there. These are connecting dots right here. And he gave some as apostles. We just read this in 1 Corinthians. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Why would he do that? He's going to explain it to you. He's going to carry it even farther. And really, when you read this and you read 1 Corinthians, it's really saying the same thing. It's saying the same thing because it's about building up the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. This is what we're getting to. This is where he was carrying the Corinthians to become a mature man. Thus, the letter of correction to correct their life. You've begun in the Spirit. Why do you think you can be perfected in the flesh? You can't. We have to yield to the Spirit. And he's given gifts unto men. And he's explaining these things to them, giving them more meat. It belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, verse 14, there's a result. You know, pushing will yield a result. Here's the result. We're no longer to be children. That's what they were. And you're not allowed to. It's time to grow up. Not that we're not. You know, we're growing. We have that in our sight. We have it in our sight that we're always going to be growing. Pop, are you done growing yet? He's looking at me like, nope. I'm going to still grow. Pop's like, I'm going to still grow some more. That's right. We're still growing more. This is the result of staying close to Christ, of feeding on his word. This is the result. Always the result. No longer tossed as children. The waves that are carried about. Well, yeah, we can explain that. There's waves of the world and the waves of life that are coming at us like a typhoon, like a tidal wave. Things of the world are coming to us. You'll stand like the rock at Gibraltar because you're standing on solid ground. You are standing on solid ground when you're standing on Christ. Now I'm going to end with that thought because on Christ, the solid rock I stand, I'm not sinking sand. My foundation's in him.